Welcome to the special edition of Straight Shooter. Listen, I believe that coming together means engaging with people who don't always agree, and that's exactly what Straight Shooter is all about, showcasing diverse perspectives, as I've told y'all repeatedly. On this episode, I will speak with a former NBA player who's now running as a GOP candidate for the United States Senate in Minnesota, and a Houston-born Democrat who was a former candidate for the United States Congress in Texas. Please welcome the Straight Shooter with yours truly, the one and only Royce White, and of course, Isaiah Martin. Good afternoon, fellas. How y'all doing? How's everything?
Doing great. Good to see you.
First order of business. Is it appropriate, and I'll start with you first, same question to both of you. I'll start with you first, Isaiah. Is it appropriate to call you a liberal, or is there something else you'd like us to call you? And in your case, Royce, you a conservative, or is there something else we'd like you to call you? Isaiah, I'll let you answer that question first, just so the audience knows who they're listening to.
Yeah, I'm definitely a liberal, but, you know, I'm a Democrat. You know, I've been a Democrat my whole life, so I guess that would be it.
What about you, Royce?
I'm an American citizen and a patriot. I would probably describe my politics as Christo nationalist and populist, ultra MAGA America first, if we had to be specific. But I'm an American patriot.
When you look at the situations involving America right now, the state of affairs going on in America, let's start with you, Royce. How would you describe the state of America as we see it right now today?
Chaos, crisis, unmoored from reality, a lack of leadership, a lack of sacred honor, a lack of genuineness, forthrightness, a lack of people who are not willing to be bought and paid for, a lack of epidemic of sellouts. There are a lot of problems. Mm.
Would you point to the Trump administration as being included in the soliloquy you just gave?
I would say that there are elements of the administration that are having some of those issues, for sure. I think overall, the president of the United States is a man who, by all measures, was willing, and you need these kind of guys to stand up and be crazy enough to say, crucify me if need be. None of our leaders are going to be perfect. All of them are going to be extremely flawed, increasingly, and an increasingly decadent culture that we've created in this country. So every leader is going to be flawed. But you do need people that are just crazy enough to stand up and say, crucify me against all of the momentum of social norms and the convenience of the status quo. And I think President Trump has done that for the better part of 10 years now. He celebrated his 80th birthday recently. So he's at the tail end of his career and at the tail end of his life. Younger people are going to have to pick up the mantle and lead this country in the right direction. And I'm proud to be one of the candidates trying to do that.
Isaiah, you just heard what Royce had to say as a liberal, a Democrat in this nation right now. I'll ask you the same question that I just asked Royce about. What do you believe the state of America to be right now? And how much of that do you attribute to this specific administration more so than anything else?
Well, I actually agree with the beginning of what Royce said, is a lack of leadership. The president of the United States has utterly failed at pretty much everything that he set out to do. He said that we would have gas prices as national average for less than $2 a gallon. That never happened. He said he would bring inflation down. That never happened. He said he was going to bring energy bills and cut them in half. Instead, they're up by more than 13%. Healthcare premiums are up. Everything in America costs a lot more than what it was when Trump got started. So yes, it is a lack of leadership. And personally, I don't believe in participation trophies for these politicians. And I believe that a lot of people that are on the conservative side are constantly looking to give Trump participation trophy. He has utterly failed. And I think that personally, we need an agenda in the United States that prioritizes common sense. And I believe that that is using our tax dollars to invest in America, to go and provide things like universal health care, universal child care. That's the type of direction that I think that America needs to be in. And I think that, frankly, if we get the right leadership, America can be much stronger than what it is today.
Before I go back to Royce, Isaiah, let me ask you this question. What do you say to those that would look at the Trump administration and say, at the very least, it's better than what Biden gave you during his 4 years in office? What would your retort be to that?
Fake news. I mean, point blank. You can look at facts, don't really care about, you know, feelings in many ways. And like I said, if you look at inflation is up and unemployment is up. You can see that in private sector investment to build new manufacturing facilities are up. Everything is down. And we see that ultimately the things that Donald Trump set out to go and do, he has not delivered on. So when you look at the economic standpoint of this golden age in America that he thought that we were going to receive, none of that stuff has ended up happening. And if we've been following the news of the last 24 hours of the developments of this Iran deal, this is an America last agenda that ultimately is leaving Americans behind.
Royce, how do you respond to that?
I think the criticism of President Trump in this particular case is coming from the left. And I regard it to be illegitimate on face value from the outset. Any criticism of President Trump and his administration from the left is political theater. The only legitimate criticism of President Trump's administration is from the right and saying that he hasn't gone far enough in the things that he wanted to do or said he wanted to do to help save this republic, in great part because the public scrutiny and criticism from the middle and from the left would be incredible. Like, for example, securing our elections, which our elections aren't secure. And if you need a reference, you can go back and listen to Amy Klobuchar and Kamala Harris in the 2018 documentary Kill Chain say that the machines can be hacked. They actually held a senatorial committee demonstration where they demonstrated that the machines can be hacked. So that's one thing. But you say another, like, you know, restoring the border or closing the border. We sealed the border up for the most part, but the border is not restored until we deport the 15 million conservatively foreign invaders that Joe Biden and his administration led into this country intentionally. And we can go further on down the line, but the only real criticism that I you know, count as legitimate is from the right that President Trump hasn't gone far enough. And the reason he hasn't gone far enough is because the center right Republican establishment is favorable to liberal and Democrat policies, and they always have been, which is why they protect that status quo. And Amy Klobuchar, actually, wait a second. Amy Klobuchar is the perfect example. You have all these leftists who say free Palestine, but then they're willing to vote for a person like Amy Klobuchar in Minnesota, who's one of the most well-funded AIPAC candidates in the entire country. The contradiction is intergalactic.
What do you say, though, when Isaiah brings up the fact that inflation, the cost of living, affordability issues, those are incredibly pertinent issues that President Trump campaigned on, but he hasn't addressed, because you even have MAGA Republicans, maybe not you specifically. I don't know. I'm going to let you answer that question. But MAGA Republicans that haven't been on this show yet anyway, they've bloviated and they've lamented the fact that he hasn't put America first, that he's been dealing with stuff overseas entirely too much, that he hasn't prioritized what's in the best interest of America, and he's left the American citizens behind. He's going against what he campaigned on, which sort of touches, at least to some degree, on what Isaiah alluded to. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say there's perfect utility to a lot of those criticisms, especially the America Last agenda and our foreign policy. Our formation of foreign policy is not rightly ordered. St. Augustine said it best, the definition, a perfect definition of virtue is rightly ordered love, rightly ordered love, rightly ordered charity. Our foreign policy is not an example of rightly ordered love or charity. And I would agree with those things. A lot of the America First wing is not happy with the war. I hope that it ends as soon as possible. But again, the spectrum of the criticism is important, because even if we said we're going to reallocate some of these resources and focus to our own home, what is the plan at home? See, because if the plan is anything like we're going to let in another 15 million foreign invaders, that's not in America's interest either. And I am almost certain, because I hear them, I'm in Minneapolis where they had the anti-ICE protest. They said there's no such thing as illegal on stolen land. This is a fundamental pillar of the Democrat platform. So it's not like if we weren't in Israel or in the Middle East dealing with this war, then our priorities would be rightly ordered under Democrat rule either. We saw that under Biden. So I'm not buying the it, you know, it's a scam for them to even, don't even bring up the war. They were all okay with dumping trillions of dollars into Ukraine. None of them had a problem with dumping as much money as they possibly could find in their black bag slush funds into Ukraine. You got biolabs popping up there in Ukraine. They didn't mind funding them. They didn't mind funding Fauci's projects with the biolabs and whatever gain of function research. So these people who criticize President Trump, they're only doing it opportunistically because there's a fracture on the conservative side about what our priorities should be.
Isaiah, I saw your facial expression wanting to respond to some of the things that he said, particularly when he brought up immigration and obviously when he brought up the war. Your response?
You know, Stephen A., I'm really, to be honest with you, fascinated that I just heard a United States Senate candidate say that it was a scam that people in this country are rightly concerned with inflation. The fact that Trump went and put these inflationary tariffs in place that effectively put broad-based tariffs on everything that comes to this country did raise prices. The fact that Trump went and got rid of ACA subsidies had a direct increase to healthcare premiums, which has led to a 26% increase in healthcare premiums across this country, particularly for those in Minnesota. So Royce can talk about the conspiracy theories all he wants, but people can look at direct actions of the Trump administration to see how it has raised their prices. And when you ignore your own intelligence, you ignore Tulsi Gabbard, you ignore Joe Kent, you ignore Richard Blumenthal, a Republican, an independent, and a Democrat, all three that said that there was no immediate threat to the United States when it came to Iran, and you ignore that, and you go and you launch a war despite your own national intelligence, and you raise people's prices as a result, that's someone that does not have the leadership and, frankly, the IQ necessary to go forward and actually deliver for the people of this country. And the fact that Royce cannot get on this platform and call that out is absolutely a disgrace, in my opinion.
Royce, your response.
Well, I mean, there's so much wrong with that. Where do I start? But to answer the first last and work my way back, I did call it out. I just said that I'm not in favor of the war. And I think the America First movement has the right perspective on our foreign policy. Again, the contradiction is that the Democrats have any difference of opinion fundamentally on foreign policy. And I gave you the Ukraine war as an example, a very recent example, mind you, of the exact same interpretation of foreign policy. So your criticism of President Trump as it pertains to foreign policy is without merit by your own conventional and traditional Democrat platform politicians. Furthermore, I never said that inflation shouldn't be a concern for the American people. What I'm pointing out is the contradiction for Americans who favor themselves Democrat or critical of the president, who say that they're worried about costs and what our government spends money on or allocates resources to, but they're perfectly okay with giving credit cards and free healthcare or education to illegal immigrants, which is a pillar of the political ideology. It's not, you know, it's not third or fifth rail. It's like the primary, it's like the driving sentiment of the Democrat Party platform is we will allow unfettered, unlimited illegal immigrants to come into this country and we will fund it with your tax money. So how can you talk about the use of tax money when you're giving, you know, unlimited money to illegal foreign invaders?
Isaiah, I'll let you chime in and answer that question, but I'll do so by asking this and then let you go wherever you want to go with it. All right. Which political party, in your estimation, is somewhat rhetorical. I know this from both of you, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Which political party do you believe has done more damage to working class Americans over the last 20 years? And more importantly, what's your strongest evidence to prove your point in answering that question?
The Republican Party. The Republican Party. I mean, you know, if you want to go back to the previous answer for just a second, I just want to make sure that it was clear. Royce did not address the fact that there was broad-based tariffs that Donald Trump went and put that led to an increase in inflation for everybody across this country. He did not address the ACA subsidies that had a direct increase of 26% for healthcare premiums. He did not do that because ultimately those are direct actions from the president that has led to price increases. But when it comes to over the last few years, when it comes to who has had the biggest troubles, I guess, for working class Americans is very clear. You can look at the job numbers. You know, up until recently, I think 50 of the last 51 million private sector jobs were created under Democratic presidents. You can see, for example, the unemployment rates much lower under Democratic presidents. You can see, for example, the S&P 500 performs better under Democratic presidents. You can see the rate of inflation generally performs better under Democratic presidents. So ultimately, you know, if you want to talk about the national debt, the Republicans are the ones that spend like children with their mom's credit cards and Toys R Us whenever they get in charge. They are responsible. Trump himself is responsible for more than 25% of the national debt, which ultimately, you want to talk about a long-term problem, that is what is going to increase interest payments in the federal budget for years to come. And ultimately, it's going to be less money that we can use to invest in things like universal health care, universal child care, those things. It's the Republican Party that consistently votes against working conditions, that have consistently voted against raising the minimum wage. I happen to believe that the minimum wage should be indexed with inflation and should go up with the cost of living. The Republicans do not support that idea. The Republicans were against the tax incentives that were used to create millions of jobs over the previous 4 years when Biden was in office. It led to record lows when it comes to unemployment. It's the Republican Party that consistently uses our tax dollars to give tax cuts to the richest people on earth, while we see that when they get those things, they invest less to create jobs in America, they invest less to create new manufacturing facilities in America, and they invest less in the American worker, and that's a problem for the people of this country.
But wouldn't people have an argument, or wouldn't people have an argument when they say that Biden spent more money than Trump? Wouldn't people have an argument when they point to, you know, letting illegal immigrants into the country and being willing to spend money on them, particularly at the expense of some American citizens? There would be no argument in their favor in regards to that, Isaiah?
Absolutely not whatsoever. Because if you look at, for example, the Trump administration in 2025 and in 2026 is spending more money than what the Biden administration spent prior to that. If you look at for the Committee for Responsible Budgets report, it literally shows $8.4 trillion was added to the national debt under, was approved by Trump to the national debt the first time he was in office. You compare that to Biden, it was about $4.8 trillion. And if you want to be even more fair to Trump, you can then take out COVID-related spending because that was something that affected both Biden and Trump. That number is about $4.3 trillion under Donald Trump compared to about $2.2 trillion under Joe Biden. The math does not add up. The Republicans are the ones that are the responsible.
Just for clarity purposes, before I go back to Royce, you're saying that I know about 25, 26, got that. But in Trump's first administration, you're saying that the Biden administration spent less than Trump's first administration? I'm just asking. I'm not saying you say that. I'm asking.
Yeah, they approved less. So the way you got to look at it, right, is who goes and approved debt? I'll give you a perfect example. So when Trump was in office the first time, he went and signed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which was there for the entirety of the time that Biden was in office. That was adding to the deficit under Biden, but he was not responsible for approving that legislation. So what you have to do is you have to tag it. And that's why there's a committee called the Committee for Responsible Budget, which is both Republicans, Independents, and Democrats come together and look at legislation by legislation, executive order by executive order, budget by budget to determine how much national debt is being added by each specific president. And when you do that, it's very clear the Republicans added double on both occasions.
Royce?
I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, and these talking points are, you know, they're dishonest, but they're uninteresting to me. There are no more party lines. I mean, of course, I'm on the right side of the aisle per se, but the real scam is to pit black and white people in this country against each other so they can make off with the green. And that's the uniparty. And the point that I'll make about our economy, and I want to say this, I was thinking about it earlier, even the term affordability has become a MacGuffin. You know what a MacGuffin is, Stephen?
I do not.
A MacGuffin is a literary device used to drive the story forward, but it's not really a part of the plot. Like Maltese Falcon, the movie's not really about a falcon. Okay. Affordability is this, you know, term that's thrown back and forth as a political football and strategically weaponized in certain terms or certain parts of certain terms to get everybody all hyped up about the economy when the truth is the underlying pillar of the economy is death and debt. And the modern monetary theory that informs our monetary policy and the radical inflation or printing of money goes back to an institution that transcends the two political parties. And that is what the uniparty in this country has tried to preserve, the devaluation of the dollar, the inflation of money, the crushing of the working class. And there's only one political party that's even thrown the red flag on the whole deal. And in fact, if I go further, it's the Republicans from within the Republican Party that have done just like Isaiah has said, that have fought candidates like me who are genuine debt hawks. So there is that part of the Republican Party, or at least I represent that part of the Republican Party that says the working class has been getting crushed since the inception of the Federal Reserve in 1913. And the devaluing of our dollar and our citizenship go hand in hand. And that philosophy is a post-World War II, post-industrial liberal philosophy. Liberal philosophy, the modern monetary theory that informs that we can print as much money as we want, regardless of our domestic production or anything else, is a liberal idea that Republicans who are soft on debt and economics fall victim to out of political viability. You have to be electable. In order to be electable, and Isaiah mentioned, the growth of unemployment or unemployment. You're giving a lot of jobs to people in the government. Republicans' fundamental philosophy is self-governance. The greatest expansion, you put your hands up, but the greatest expansion of the new jobs came from the government. We don't believe in the expansion. It's crazy to me that Democrats like AOC and Ilhan Omar, say the whole system is guilty and white supremacists, but their fundamental philosophy is to keep giving more power to the federal government as it expands in the name of new jobs. It's so contradictory, it's laughable. Only a person with a sub 100 IQ would even go for that kind of thing. But we've taught a lot of people in this country to be radical materialists. And that's what I'll say finally, Stephen A. When I say affordability is a MacGuffin, we have a death and debt culture in America and around the world. And And our mentality about the economy, our mentality about what is affordable and what isn't, is greatly geared towards radical materialism. And so our perception of what we need to live, what we need to be prosperous, what we need to have a great quality of life has been skewed intentionally by the internet. You don't need $1 million to live great. You don't need to be able to go to Mykonos in Greece and take pictures on Instagram for people you don't even really like or know.
Right.
You need to be able to take care of a family. And the Democrats have made it almost impossible to do that because they don't believe in the private ownership of business. They believe in the complete consolidation of government-run business, or the merger of government and corporation, which is by definition fascist.
Isaiah, go ahead. Because I know I was going to chime in, but I know you look like you got a lot to say. Go ahead, my man.
Hey, Royce, I mean, look, facts don't care about your feelings, bro. I mean, and I say that with all due respect.
Which
the reality is that you can just go and look at the facts itself. Inflation
Which
is
ones
up
are facts?
Under Donald Trump. You can look at unemployment is up under Donald Trump. And that's why exactly why I talked about private sector spending to build new manufacturing facilities, which is a number to go and look to see who is building to hire more American workers. And that number has decreased under Donald Trump.
Who's
so it's
numbers?
Like, if you like, let's
Who's
look
numbers?
At, for example, if you look at when Trump was president the first time, right? This man literally had a reduction in the amount of spending to build these new manufacturing facilities in America, despite the fact that he said that was the whole purpose of his Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. You put Joe Biden in there, then he goes forward and passes the infrastructure bill, the CHIPS Act. He did so many other things that created these target incentives for private investment, which led to a 3x increase in those new manufacturing facilities that people have bought. I mean, so you don't really know what you're talking about here, Royce, respectfully. And I just think that, you know, when you talk in these, you know, talking points that are not rooted in facts, it leads to really dangerous outcomes.
Well, see, here's my problem. Hold on, Royce. As somebody in the middle who is completely ignorant compared to the both of you, let me put that out on Front Street right now. I don't know what y'all know, okay? But I like being a conduit for discussion. I'm trying to figure out how can an accord ever be reached? Let's say, hypothetically speaking, even though I don't think it's that much hypothetical considering what we're witnessing in America today, that you've got people on both sides of the aisle who feel directly the way both of you feel. How can an accord ever be reached, or some level of, I don't know. I don't know the word for it. You're just wondering whether or not that could ever get to a point where folks can reach an understanding like, well, you know what? We agree, but we're going to have to agree to disagree, as opposed to both sides saying y'all facts are wrong, because now you're forcing two sides to pick one side or the other because neither is willing to acknowledge there's any level of credibility what the other's saying. How do we come to an accord in that regard? I'll start with you, Royce.
Oh, there's no accord. We're well past the accord. These people just lie. Like, for example, I brought up the illegal immigrant situation. He hasn't addressed it one time since he's spoken. He refuses to address that the Joe Biden administration and the Democrats as a party, as a political movement, believe in and support, condone, let in 20 to 15 million foreign invaders. He won't even address it. And that's not by accident. It's on purpose. This country cannot be the only country in the world without a border, okay? We should not let unlimited amounts of people come into this country, and it does have an effect on our culture, on our communities, and the economy. But that's not even the real issue. And what I said about the economy is 100% accurate. He's talking about President Trump. I'm talking about how the system works, which is why after George Floyd died, I led people to the Federal Reserve because I wanted to educate them on how monetary policy actually works. Not to point all of their anger and animosity at police, which are government workers, by the way, working class people who bear a lot of the same economic burden that many of the people who protested them bear. But how does the money actually flow? How does it work? That's not even the real issue. When I say there's no accord to have, these people believe in cutting off little boys' penises, mutilating children, giving them hormone blockers. It's a pillar of their platform. They're not shy about it. Minneapolis is now the transgender capital. You're talking about people who are under 13, 12, 11 years old being influenced into something that is completely, completely unjustifiable by any medical standard worth its salt that hasn't been captured by the same academic philosophy, but certainly by any historical standard. The two universal standards for having a country You have a border that you control, and you do not normalize cutting off your son's penises or mutilating them through hormone blockers and medicine. So there is no accord with these people. They're unmoored from reality, and they want to talk. You know, they talk fast. They bring a bunch of buzzwords and things like that to distract you from the issues. The reason they don't like me is because I'll bring you right back to the root issue. You let in 15 million foreign invaders, and you believe in cutting off little boys' penises. We should never give these people the government back under any circumstances. So there's certainly not an accord.
Isaiah?
You know, this is really interesting. You know, Royce not at any point wanted to address anything when it comes to the economy. And, I understand that you might not necessarily have anything when it comes to that. So it's not really surprising. But ultimately, Stephen A., I do think that to get back to the root of your question about how we can come to an accord, I think that it's just by using common sense. And I think that one of the things that you do very well is that you go and you kind of cut through a lot of the smoke and you kind of stick to the facts. And I think that that's really what we need more of. And once again, when you have a Republican, an independent, and a Democrat coming together to say that there was no immediate threat to the United States and Trump launches a war anyway, I would say that's a lack of common sense, especially Stephen A., because you know how difficult it is in Washington for people of all sides of the political spectrum to come together to agree on anything. I would say the same thing when it comes to this absolute waste of our tax dollars that's going on in our government right now, with Trump spending unlimited sums of money. People said that the tariffs, the broad-based tariffs, were completely ridiculous, but he did it anyway. The Committee for a Responsible Budget, Republican, Independent, and a Democrat, all are on this committee, and they've come together and they've said these things. So, you know, I think that ultimately we've got to be able to operate off of a set of facts. But, you know, Royce did bring up the border. So I think this is a really good time to go talk about it. I don't support open borders. I've never supported open borders. I'm somebody who's visited the border multiple times. I hope, Royce, that you've done the same. I've talked to multiple Border Patrol agents, and I know that ultimately, in order for us to go and have a strong border, we've got to give Border Patrol the resources that they need. I fully support doing that. Now, I say that then you then have to determine what you're going to do for the people that are here that are undocumented. I happen to believe that if every single person that is illegal and they haven't committed a crime here or elsewhere, and they agree to pay every single tax, state, federal, and local, and they agree to pay an additional tax of 7% for 7 years, and they do that, that's something that we'll be able to give American citizenship to. It'll create billions of dollars for us right here for the taxpayer that we can use to cut taxes for Americans and ensure that we can actually go and put trades back in schools for our young people. That is something that is an America First policy that is vastly better than the hundreds of billions of dollars that Trump is in line to spend to go and do this mass deportation program, which ultimately hasn't yielded anything for us anyway.
Royce, I couldn't hear what you were saying while he was talking. Go ahead.
Of course he believes that.
He believes what? Of course he believes what?
Of course he believes we should tax these people and find these people and let them stay in our country. It's a passive agreement. It's a for tax revenue, right? For the expansion of the IRS and the federal government, further expansion.
No, I just told you to cut taxes and to put trades back in schools. Are you opposed to trades in schools?
When has the federal government ever expanded?
Are you opposed to trades in schools?
When was the last time the federal government expanded in the tax rate?
Are you opposed
to
trades in schools, Russ?
When was the last time the federal government expanded and the tax rate went down? When was the last time the federal government expanded and the tax rate went down?
You're doing a lot of dream shaking like Elijah on the summit right now. I'm just asking.
When was the last time the federal government expanded and the tax rate went down?
Royce, we're talking
about.
When
was the last time the federal government expanded?
See, this is what I'm talking about, Stephen.
Royce, let him answer. Go ahead, Isaiah.
No, wait. I didn't answer my
question. Okay, well, go ahead. I'm just saying, but you asked the same question. You asked the same question in five times. That's all I'm saying. He's asking us. But go ahead.
Let's go back to the original point. The original point.
He doesn't want to address it.
I've already addressed the economy at a fundamental level. We have a death and debt culture that we've accepted because there are benefits for everybody across the aisle. Modern monetary theory, which is a progressive political and economic philosophy, is a debt trap for all working class citizens across a big time horizon. I'm going to talk about the border right now. Of course you would say that we should tax and fine these people because it's a passive-aggressive way for the Democrats to get the goal that they had, which was to import unlimited, unfettered illegal immigrants.
I don't support illegal immigration.
No, you do because you want to let them stay.
I don't support illegal immigration.
You
but
what I said, no, he said he's saying you do because you want them to stay. You're not willing to find them and yeah. deport them. That's what he's saying.
Well, because this is what I'm saying. What's happening right now?
Wait a minute. What?
Spending what Spain is spending on their military to go and deport only 5% of violent convicted criminals. To me, I think that is a lack of common sense.
Why is
what
that?
What I said needs to happen is that for those people that are here America, that are undocumented. Excuse me, Royce. For those that are here that are on,
let me say this real quick. Neither one of y'all getting cut off. So just one at a time, because I ain't edited any of this. You trust me. Y'all, yeah. This ain't television where you get cut off in 8 minutes. So you ain't got to interrupt one another. It's airing, all of it. Go ahead, Isaiah, and come back to you, Royce.
What I'm saying is that we have to determine as a country, what do we want to do with our tax dollars? Royce might believe in spending hundreds of billions of dollars, potentially trillions of dollars on this wasteful mass deportation program. I say that for those people that are here that are undocumented, this is an opportunity for them to have an earned pathway to citizenship that will create billions of dollars for us that we can use to put trades back in schools for our young people. We have a big problem in America where a lot of children are told that they have to go to college in order to be successful. And while that might be the case for some, and for many people in America, I happen to believe that we should create another pathway. I think that we have gotten away from trades back in schools for so many people across this country. And if this is an avenue to fund an America First policy, which is to teach our young people a trade if they do not want to go to college, I do not understand how someone like Royce can get on here and be against that. To me, I think that's an America last.
Royce, floor is yours. Royce, floor is yours. Floor is yours.
First of all, I'm not against that. I think trades are great. You do this thing where you try and conflate like three different issues into one point, and then the bottom line is you're contradicting yourself, and this is what they do. The Democrats try and bait and switch you by using Spain's military spending as a juxtaposition to our deportations. First of all, Spain's privilege, and it is a privilege granted to them by America, and how much they do or don't spend on their military is because NATO subsidizes Spain's military defense, which is subsidized by America. Yeah. We subsidize the entire European Union's defense to a substantial margin, an increase, which is why a lot of America Firsters wanted us out of NATO, which Democrats defend vehemently. They defend
you
NATO.
You want to get out of NATO?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
How does NATO work, Royce?
Right now, it works that it's breaking the American people's back, a working class of a bunch of Europeans.
How does it work, Royce?
They're giving their continent and their countries away to foreign invaders the same way Democrats want to do
here. Can you point to me where the United States budget it has a line item for NATO and Spain's defense? Where is that in the federal budget?
Are you saying that the American taxpayers do not fund NATO?
I asked you a question.
Why don't y'all answer each other's question? Why don't y'all answer each other's question?
You're not even starting from the same reality. If you don't accept that America subsidizes NATO, then you're not even dealing in reality.
How does NATO work? I don't think you understand.
America subsidized NATO.
What does that mean?
Does America put in the lion's share of the funding for NATO?
You think there's
Isaiah, that is a direct question. Does America put in a lion's share of money to NATO? That is a direct question.
No, because I don't think that Royce understands how NATO works.
All right, well, tell us.
NATO means that every country has their direct investment that they spend on their own military for their own defense. The 2% target for defense spending that these countries have, it's not like America is paying that. That's saying that you want the United Kingdom, you want France, you want our NATO allies to go and spend that on their own defense. Royce, you seem to believe that there is a line item in the United States budget for Spain's defense or for France's defense. And if you believe that, then Royce, why don't you go and show me where in the federal budget this is instead of spouting conspiracy theories?
I didn't say that. I said that we are the lion's share majority of subsidization for NATO. We give the most out of any of the other countries. They don't carry their weight, and they don't carry their weight to a degree where if they need to go to war with an enemy on their border, such as Russia, they have to call us to help them to do it, which is exactly why we're still in a war in Ukraine now, because NATO couldn't fight Russia without America's help. So we do put in the money.
Ukraine's not even in NATO.
Okay.
Exactly right, sir. That is exactly right.
But what is your point?
So why is the entire European Union and America, by NATO decree, going to the aid of Ukraine to the detriment and debt of our own country.
Do you know what the Budapest Memorandum was?
Yes, I do.
What is it, Royce?
The point is, see, this is what the...
Tell me what it is.
My question. Wait, you didn't answer my question.
Tell me what it is, Royce.
Wait a second.
Steve, I think that this is very important. If we're going to talk about Ukraine...
You didn't answer my question.
Can you just tell me?
Why?
What is the Budapest Memorandum? You're a United States Senate candidate, Royce. Why can't you just give me this answer?
This is what they do. When I debunk one of their answers, then he goes to this random question about, and well, you don't answer this one.
I'm talking
This is how you, wait a second.
I've answered a lot of questions, Stephen. It seems like Democrats he doesn't want to answer this.
But the reason why you don't like me is because I don't let people do that. That's corny. What you're doing is corny. Every time I debunk one answer, you jump to another lily pad. That's what you do. The so bottom line is, the bottom
let's finish, line is, let's finish the story, and then I'll come back to you, Isaiah. Go ahead, Royce. Finish NATO, the point.
No.
Even furthermore, we got way off on the Spain and NATO. The bottom line is this. Spain's military spending should not even be brought up in conjunction with our effort to deport illegal foreign invaders. Even the idea is an internationalist sort of globalist philosophy. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit what Spain spends on their military. We're going to deport every single foreign invader that Joe Biden led into
this
country.
But is that rational though, Royce?
Absolutely.
Can you really deport? Can you really locate 15 million immigrants and deport 15 million immigrants in this country? You really think that could happen?
We better.
But hold up. Wait a second.
We just witnessed. Wait, would China pivot. Do it? Hey, wait a second. Stephen A., would China do it? Would China deport every foreign invader? Because these Democrats are proto-China, they're proto-communist CCP, fans. They love China. They love how many roads they can build. They love how affordable it is to live in China.
China and Russia would do a lot of things the United States wouldn't do. But go ahead.
Would China deport every foreigner? What happens when you cross the border illegally in China, Stephen A?
I mean, come on, Stephen A.
We're going off subject. I got you. Go ahead, Isaiah.
That's not off subject.
No, it is. I'm only talking about
our national mortal enemy, and it's not relevant. What the universal standard is of how you deal with illegal foreign invaders from one country to another. They're our national mortal enemy.
I'm saying your point is made without me having to get into China and Russia. That's all I'm trying to say. But go ahead.
What I'm saying specifically is, if you cross the border illegally in China, they don't take the time to pleasantly deport you back to your origin.
But this is
country.
Not
they
them. Certainly... We're not them.
Wait a second. We're not way off. He's in Siberia right now.
I had a couple of other issues I wanted to get to before I let y'all out of here. But go ahead.
Even there is a wait a second. When Russia crossed over into Ukraine and invaded Ukraine, we used an escalatory ladder to determine the military action we should take to Russia based on their existential threat to our country. And a lot of Democrats argued for that. They said, we can't let Russia invade Ukraine because they'll roll across Europe. And some Democrats even advocated that we use short-range tactical nukes to push Russia back. Now we get to a conversation about China and their deportation policies, and all of a sudden it's not equal. It's not equitable to analyze across the two countries. We're in an asymmetrical war with a national mortal enemy, and in China they don't pleasantly deport people back to their origin countries, and they certainly don't assimilate them and give them free credit cards and healthcare, education.
They shoot
them in the back of the head. Stephen A. is what they do in China.
Isaiah, go ahead.
We're not going to do that. We want to deport them.
Isaiah, go ahead. I got a couple more questions before I let you get on out of here. I just didn't want to rob you of the opportunity.
I mean,
you good?
Yeah. I think Hakeem Olajuwon would be proud of this pivot because, again, your dream shape.
Let me move on. Guys.
But wait, I just want to address this, Stephen. Give me one second. Royce, let him talk, man.
Please. Go ahead, Royce.
Look. All I'm saying is this. We were talking about Ukraine and why NATO countries were defending Ukraine, and he thought that was a gotcha. That's why I asked him, what is the Budapest Memorandum? He cannot tell you. That's why he's trying to pivot to China and all those things. It's called gish galloping. So I just want to ask point blank directly, Royce, what is the Budapest Memorandum? Because I think that if you answer that, you will then have the answer to all of your questions. Can I just get an answer from that?
No, it's not. No, because what you're doing is you're trying to forward an international. You're trying to forward an international.
It doesn't even know what the Budapest Memorandum is.
No, I know what it is. I don't regard it as legitimate.
Then tell me. Explain it.
I don't regard it as legitimate. And I don't regard
a lot
of
these. Royce.
I don't regard a lot of these international.
He cannot tell you.
I don't. I'm telling you my answer. You don't get the thing about me is you can't make me answer it the way
you don't know what it is.
I got.
Well,
listen, for my viewers,
someone who can
for my viewers, I got. For my viewers, I got something more important than Ukraine and Russia or the Budapest Memorandum.
Right.
I got something more important to deal with. I wanted to get, and this is an overview.
Can I answer it? Well, can I answer it one last time, Stephen A?
Go ahead.
Don't regard some of these international treaties and agreements as legitimate. They are a relic. In many cases, they are relics of a globalist foreign policy, the same foreign policy that informs that we have to go defend a country a world away instead of defending our own borders and making sure our own people are prospering. So the Budapest Memorandum is not something I'm going to go into the details about because I don't regard it as legitimate.
Okay, got it. Let me move on because I want to get to the criminal justice system that exists in this country because I think it's important in the light of the Carmelo Anthony verdict. And I wanted to ask this question overall, not so much specifically about that verdict. You can go where you want to go with it. But I want to ask a bigger question about young men in America today and a real crisis of purpose that we're talking about here. If so, who or what bears the most responsibility for the state of affairs that exists in this country when it comes to young men? And don't get me started with it being specific about young black men. Answer that question. I'll start with you, Isaiah.
I think that young men, young women, young people in general want to see an economy that works better. And I think that there's been special interests on all sides of the political spectrum that has been pushing against policies to make that happen. I think that there's been a lot of corporate ownership of homes in this country that's stopped a lot of young men, young women from going out and buying homes. I think that ultimately is a problem. And I think that they've been lobbying all sides of Congress to make sure that that can happen. I think that it's a problem that many people can't go out and get good jobs because of the fact that so many special interests are instead using the money to go and do stock buybacks instead of actually building for America. So look, I think that there's a lot of big economic social problems that's going on right now. But I would say the biggest fault of that is money in politics, because that has paralyzed a lot of action on the big things that many people care about in this country.
Royce, as condensed as succinct as you can be, go ahead and answer that question yourself, please.
Hard to do it, but I will say this. This is where the secular humanist philosophy on the left just goes completely off the rails. And when I said earlier, to tie it back to my answer about the economics earlier, it was a much deeper answer about our culture. When I said radical materialism, this is what I mean. And this is a hallmark of the Marxist philosophy, to reduce the human existence down to price, to make everything about price, affordability, the cost of things. While those are important things, and I already said, the three-card Monty is to pit black people against white people or Republicans against Democrats or whatever, men against women, to make off with the money of an ever-expanding federal government, which is true. Poverty does not give people the excuse to do heinous and terrible immoral things. And the fact that we continue to forward that idea across the Chernow House of History is a sign of our own decadent culture. You can be poor and still make sound decisions. The Democrats, for the most part, accept this idea that poverty is you know, going to be a net result of debauchery, immorality, crime, violence, chaos, self-destruction. There's nothing remotely appropriate about that. There's nothing even vaguely appropriate about that idea. People should be able to both be poor or be, you know, in a position that's not their, you know, their most ideal economic situation and be good people. And follow the morals and ethics of a given community, or in this case, a nation. And to tell young black men specifically anything else, like, well, if you're born into poverty, of course you're going to go in and rob a corner store. Of course you're going to be angry, so you stab a kid in the chest at a track meet, is absolutely insane. Almost as insane as giving a prepubescent kid hormone blockers. Almost as insane.
Before I let y'all get on out of here, I'm going to end by asking this question. Both of y'all are on opposite sides of the aisle. If the other side's worldview wins over the next 10 years, what does America actually look like, let's say, in 2036? Isaiah?
Well, I think that you'll see a deepening inequality problem in America. I think you'll see the richest folks in America continue to get tax breaks. You'll see things like, for example, in the Stop the Bacon Act, something that they're pushing that's literally allowing for big ag to allow for these pigs to basically be disgusting meat that's just rolling around in America. You will see a deregulation of our food. You will see ultimately, I think, in America that allows for, like I said, the richest people on earth to get richer. I think personally the way to do that, you got to get big money out of politics. I've really been a big proponent of that because I think that's really what's driving a lot of the political divide in this country is big special interests putting people against each other. And I think that we have to get that under control. But,
Royce,
you know, frankly,
oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I just think that, frankly, I think we can fix these problems. But we got to get better people in office.
But by putting better people in office, is that what you said?
Yeah.
I got you. Go ahead, Royce.
Well, when you say Republicans or Democrats, who's in office, again, I don't regard the conventional framework of our political parties as accurate. I don't regard the current political landscape as Republican or Democrat, although I know people, you know, find utility in that. And sure, we have two political parties. But right now in my own party, I'm going to fight against the people who want unfettered, increase of debt, who want to be in wars all over the world at all times, who even make a sort of workaround for a Dignidad Act where we're going to assimilate all these foreign invaders. And I think if we continue on the path that we're on now under that uniparty rule of the status quo, that is completely beholden to special interests and lobby money. We always talk about moderates and people who can agree and shake hands across the aisle. The biggest shaking of hands across the aisle has been the special interests and lobby money, but then they tell you those are the only people that are electable. I mean, it's, you know, they talk out of both sides of their mouth, and a lot of those people are Democrats, or at least the Democrat media. I think we have to have a radical, radical change and shift even further to the right than what President Trump is willing to do. And I think we can and we should at least set the aim to deport all the illegal foreign invaders that came in under Joe Biden to start. And we can do that. And we should know where they all are because we gave them all credit cards and cell phones, or we gave a lot of them. I think there was estimated like 2 million didn't take the cash. You got to wonder what they're up to, that they passed on the cash. But at least 13 million, a conservative estimate, 13 million got cell phones and credit cards. We know exactly where these people are. The question is, do we like the convenience of low-cost labor? And what's going to happen if we allow, if we continue? Look, it just blows my mind what's happened to this country about people, especially Black people's perception of citizenship, the value of their citizenship, and the sovereignty of their borders and their country, especially a country that we help build and that we currently help keep afloat. The fact that we've just given away the idea of national pride, national honor, having a country, having sovereign borders, valuing our dollar, and demanding that our politicians do the same, it should be a non-starter.
I'm going to say this, and y'all can comment about it, or I can end it this way. I think the thing that really, really bothers me as a guy, respecting both of y'all, knowing what y'all know, and proud to have y'all on this show, and you're always welcome back, both of y'all, just so y'all know, it's that I keep telling folks out in the streets of America, look, damn it, you can't have everything. You can't have everything. Everybody's got to do without something. Or this notion that you get to get everything you want, the way you want, how you want it, it's not realistic. And Royce, when you say that, and you explained it, but you talked about there is no accord, that's scary because it's like, wait a minute. Well, if there is no accord, then the one side's got to have their way, whichever side of the aisle it is, because the left has certainly acted that way to some degree. Some people, Isaiah, on the left have acted that way. And I'm like, where does that get us? Because that means you're going to have millions of Americans utterly disgusted and they ain't going to go for it. And they're going to be determined to cause chaos because they didn't get, you know, they felt left out of the equation. They didn't get what they want. How the hell does that help us moving forward? That's all I wanted to say. Anybody got a close comment about it? Go ahead, Isaiah.
Yeah, let me say this. You know, Stephen A., you know, I think one of the things that hopefully I think that you and Royce and we all can agree with is that there's a lot of big special interest money in politics.
I agree with
and
that.
And it does make a lot of political decisions.
I totally agree with that.
I think that hopefully hopefully we all can eventually come together to say that this has to come to an end. We have to demand that politicians on that are Republican, Democrat, independent, no matter what you are, that it has to get out. We've got to get big PACs out of politics. We've got to put spending limits on elections, because that is really the root, I think, of most of our political problems in America.
Royce, I give you amen.
Oh, amen. I completely agree. I think we should put a nationwide ban on PACs and lobbies altogether. In fact, it's a part of my political platform. So, yeah, we agree completely on that. But to your point, Stephen A., about you can't get everything you want, I think it's a misrepresentation of at least what I'm saying is, and you're a sports commentator, and congratulations, the Knicks just won. It was awesome to see them do
Thank
that.
Y'all.
But imagine, Stephen A., if you started the game, you jumped the ball up, and the players could literally run wherever they wanted to on the court. I mean, back behind the benches, in the stands, and, you know, it'd be like the Globetrotters. It wouldn't be the NBA, right? So you have to have a baseline of reality. And I think we're really having a fundamental argument in this country in politics about reality, not so much about the details, but about reality itself. And that's not something that you can easily negotiate, compromise, or just, you know, move past. And I go back to this, not as a distraction, but I really do mean the trans thing is a canary in the coal mine for reality. And if we can't agree on that baseline reality, like you can't cut a little boy's penis off and he become the other sex. If we can't agree on that, of course, we're not going to be able to agree on the tax rate or how many illegal aliens we should deport. Because one side of the aisle has a philosophy of politics that has that baked into it, and the other side has something that the left regards as unacceptable or non-starter, which is obviously God, right? I mean, they say if you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, it's a sky daddy, you know, it's a fairy tale. We don't regard that as a legitimate way to go about framing government or society. So we're at a fundamental impasse, and I'm just being realistic about that.
I got it. Listen, man, I know this much. If I ran for office, both of y'all would be in my ear. I'd listen to you because, damn it, you got stuff to say, and I appreciate that. Listen, you don't have to always agree, but at least y'all can have this kind of conversation, and that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to create with this platform that I have available to me. Cats being willing to sit across from one another and have a conversation, because Lord knows we need more than that. So Isaiah Martin and Royce White, thank y'all both for your time. I really, really appreciate it. And no, both of y'all got a home here. Anytime you need it, I'm here for you. I appreciate y'all, man. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, John.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
No doubt. That's it for this edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A., getting on out of here. Remember, every Wednesday night, SiriusXM POTUS Radio, channel 124. That's where you'll find me. Plus, you'll find me right here on my YouTube show at least twice a week. Additionally, right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show YouTube, Straight Shooter with Stephen A. YouTube channel. So check it out. Talk to y'all next time. Royce White, Isaiah Martin, Riveting Discussion, two brothers that got an idea what the hell is going on in this country, know what the hell they're talking about. And I mean it when I say it. Everybody's welcome as long as you've got substantive stuff to say that you believe is in the best interest of America instead of acting like you crazy. That's where I'm coming from, and that's where I'm going to continue to come from. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, peace and love. Signing off, Stephen A. Peace.